Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, bootball,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Philadelphia police say they're investigating a mass shooting that happened in West Philadelphia. 9 people shot, 3 of them dead, according to authorities. This happened after 2 o'clock in the morning, Sunday, 1200 block of North Alden Street, and they say it started with a fight, they believe. These are young men. All of the men killed, 23, 29, 33 years old. There was a gathering here of more than 100 people, so detectives now looking for those suspects involved, as was just the latest shooting, mass shooting, in Philadelphia. We also have word this morning there's a death investigation underway after a baby died in Philadelphia. A 5-month-old boy found unresponsive by his mother, and they were at Northern Children's Services on Ridge Avenue in Wissahickon. We don't have word. I know they were rushed to Einstein, where he was pronounced later. No word on what caused the baby's death, and they didn't say whether any charges were filed. Was this another situation of a baby left in a hot car? So many questions as to what happened.
And when did this occur, did you say?
And this happened yesterday.
Okay. Because Stalker, yeah, I think you sent us something last night. I've got it right here. A 7-month-old baby in Philadelphia in the Northeast on Thursday. This is from the Post Millennial. Woman shoots 7-month-old baby in Northeast Philly, screams, F your baby, B word. What kind of society are we living in where not only are you shooting adults and you have zero disregard for a 7-month-old? Like, I mean, really?
Yeah.
That's how uncivilized we are?
It's tragic.
The Northeast, baby.
Yeesh. So we have all of that going on with the swirl in Philadelphia. We have, of course, Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro now endorsing the Veep, Kamala Harris, for president. That was just yesterday.
He was the first one, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Interesting. Interesting.
Which means he's hedging his bets for Veep.
Mm.
But will she be at the top?
Well,
that's the question.
I said this yesterday when the news broke when we were in the tent. They, in an era of identity politics with the far left, they would love Kamala to be the president and to have a white man as the vice president. That would signal in their world the ultimate sign of shattering glass ceilings and the whole bit. We'll see if it plays out, though.
Yeah. Wait, Democrats are saying they've raised nearly $50 million after President Joe Biden dropped out of the race, making that announcement. So they're happy to raise money.
How does Biden have to feel as soon as he gets out, the floodgates open? Everybody's like, okay, we endorse.
Open your checkbooks.
Yeah.
Joe's gone.
Oh, my goodness.
Josh Shapiro, huh? It's, yeah. Interesting.
Everybody's talking about Pennsylvania. We are sponsored by First Harvest Credit Union. Let your savings take root. Grow with First Harvest Credit Union's limited time share of the IRA certificate rates. Available right now, you can earn 5% APY on a 9-month certificate. Visit firstharvestcu.com for all the details. Restrictions apply. Insured by NCUA. Of course, for our fills against the Pirates, we were, 6-0. So at least we have some vindication there with our Philadelphia Phillies on the road. I think we had lost something like four in a row.
Mm-hmm.
So at least we're vindicated, and I can report a win this morning. As far as the forecast this morning, really watching this very carefully because we're looking for showers, thunderstorms, widespread this evening with a high of 85 degrees. So it's humid and hot. As I said this morning, in many parts of our region, it's already pouring rain, but that rain moves through and then widespread during this evening. Then the rain leaves us tomorrow morning by your Tuesday. We'll likely spend most of the day mostly cloudy, but again, muggy, 88 degrees. More T-storms and rain developing later tomorrow evening. And then another unsettled day for your Wednesday, hump day. At times, we'll see scattered storms possible with a high of 86 degrees. So continuing really this pattern until we reach Friday with sun and clouds turning less humid. So we finally get a break on Friday, but otherwise kind of an unsettled week weather-wise. A lot of humid conditions and then a lot of these scattered showers. This is Kale and Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 6:11 Monday morning. Let's get to another big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
All right, the big take this morning. The big guy bites the dust. Joe Biden, well, he was a transition president after all. Sunday, July 21st, 2024, the day that the Democrats took old Yeller out behind the woodshed and told the 81-year-old, it's time to be put out to pasture. To make things worse, they finished off their one-term incumbent on his favorite day of the year, National Ice Cream Day. We were told that it could happen this weekend with Sunday being the day, and it went down just like that. But how did it occur? And why the change of tune just hours later? Here was Biden co-chair Cedric Richmond Sunday morning, hours before Joe stepped down, telling Margaret Brennan of Face the Nation on CBS News that the big guy wasn't stepping away. Listen and watch.
Congressman, we heard, as you know, before you from two allies of Joe Biden who have now changed their position. And we now look at the tally of roughly 40 lawmakers who have called for Joe Biden to step aside. Clearly, leadership is setting up a permission structure for lawmakers to come out and say these things. Has Joe Biden lost control of the Democratic Party?
No, he's not. And he's heard those concerns. And I want to be crystal clear. He's made a decision. And that decision is to accept the nomination and run for re-election, win re-election. And I think that there are those out there that need to hear it again, that he made a decision. He's going to be the candidate. He's going to be the next president. And now it's time to focus on the threat that Donald Trump poses and what the extreme agenda is on the other side.
So what changed just a few hours later? Did Joe willingly step aside? Did Dr. Jill give the okay to Joey and give up future covers on Vogue magazine? I highly doubt it. But was it as simple as Pelosi and Schumer, Obama and the Clintons putting on a weekend full court press? That's the obvious assumption. Heck, forget about National Ice Cream Day. They didn't even let the 81-year-old finish his COVID quarantine. That's how cold-blooded Democrats can be. And Democrats love to talk about threats to democracy, right? And in the last 16 months, they've tried to eliminate the Republican frontrunner in Donald Trump, despite the will of the people. And they've now done the same thing to the man who rolled to a primary victory for the Dems. Yep, they care about democracy. They care about we the people. No, the power players behind the scenes are the true threats to our republic. They know Trump is uncontrollable for the most part. Biden's brain was banana pudding, and Kamala Harris is super controllable. She will be the far-left puppet. Primaries be damned. Doesn't matter what moderates, liberals, or progressives voted for this past spring. So now we get, in all likelihood, Donald Trump against Kamala Harris. The border czar against the border badass boss. If immigration is the top issue in the country, it should be no contest. Here was Vice President Kamala Harris when called out by Lester Holt of NBC News for not delivering any results with her first mission way back in 2022, the border. Listen and watch.
We've been to the border. So this whole thing about the border, we've been to the border. We've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
I haven't been to Europe. And I don't understand the point that you're making.
Hard to believe that was a real-life answer. Her opponent, Donald Trump, well, he's got the border resume to back up his talk, and he's ready to do it again. Here was 45 on Thursday night during the RNC finale talking about immigration and the border. Listen and watch this.
I will end the illegal immigration crisis by closing our border and finishing the wall, most of which I've already built. On the wall, we were dealing with a very difficult Congress. And I said, oh, that's okay. We won't go to Congress. I call it an invasion. We gave our military almost $800 billion. I said, I'm going to take a little of that money because this is an invasion. And we built, most of the wall is already built. And we built it through using the funds because what's better than that? We have to stop the invasion into our country that's killing hundreds of thousands of people a year. We're not going to let that happen.
So what happens now? Harris v. Trump feels inevitable, but it's not a formality 100% by any means. Can she get the nominee by securing the endorsements of the delegates? Will anybody challenge her? The DNC convention is scheduled for August 19th through the 22nd, and now those almost 4,000 delegates that Joe Biden secured, they're essentially tossed back into the pool. They're like free agents in sports. They're out there for the taking. Those delegates who gave their pledge to Biden are in no way obligated to support Kamala Harris, despite Joe Biden's endorsement of her yesterday. And of the 4,700 delegates, 4,000 of those were pledged, with Joe Biden having won 95% of them. Kamala Harris will also inherit $96 million from the Biden war chest. Those funds can only go to her. But also keep in mind that when Kamala tried to win the nomination in 2020, she dropped out before Iowa and never received a vote from a Democrat primary voter. And then, of course, along the way, she would call the big guy racist. She also polls lower than Joe Biden, which is hard to imagine. Now, there have been one or two polls where she has a lead over Donald Trump in hypothetical matchups, but most of the polls show Trump ahead of her by about the same margin that he was leading Joe Biden in. So maybe nothing from a polling perspective will really change. Trump and J.D. Vance wasting little time to capitalize on the Democrats' continued dysfunction. Trump saying on Truth Social yesterday, quote, he only attained the position of president by lies, fake news, and not leaving his basement. All those around him, including his doctor and the media, knew that he wasn't capable of being president, and he wasn't, end quote. J.D. Vance saying on X, quote, Joe Biden has been the worst president in my lifetime, and Kamala Harris has been right there with him every step of the way, end quote. But here's the bottom line from my vantage point. I've been saying recently that I think Trump would beat Biden by a solid margin, not a landslide, and Trump should beat Kamala Harris by the same margin, perhaps if not more. But that is in normal times. That's based on facts and resumes. That's based on moments and sound clips and audio and video. But we don't live in that world anymore of normal times. We live in a world where feelings supersede facts. Shattering glass ceilings override common sense. Incompetence gets rewarded. Proven results become secondary. We pick people who are presidential over somebody who will shake things up. We choose safe and controllable over greatness and excellence. If it is Trump against Kamala, it very well could be closer than it should be. But I'm going to stay consistent, as I've been saying. Trump, I think, would beat Biden, Harris, Hillary Clinton, and Gavin Newsom. Trump would lose to Michelle Obama for sure. I know she's not in the equation, but if she was, I think Michelle Obama would win. And I think he'd be in a real tough spot against Josh Shapiro. And speaking of Shapiro, that would be the best case for Kamala Harris, in my view, to shock Donald Trump and pull off the upset. If Kamala would tab Shapiro to be her Veep, that could literally give her the election, especially if Shapiro can deliver Pennsylvania to her. Keep in mind, Joe and Kamala, they have been to Pennsylvania about 24 times in 3.5 years. They know the importance of the Keystone State. Win PA and you could win the whole ball of wax. And they will likely need to sweep the three Big Ten swing states of PA, Michigan, and Wisconsin. But the Trump administration, they knew that this was a real possibility, and the GOP and the RNC were ready to attack. Here is the first ad from MAGA Inc., with the focus being on Laughing Kamala. Listen and watch.
Kamala was in on it. She covered up Joe's obvious mental decline.
Our president is in good shape, in good health, tireless, vibrant, and I have no doubt about the strength of the work that we have done.
But Kamala knew Joe couldn't do the job, so she did it. Look what she got done. A border invasion, runaway inflation, the American dream dead. They created this mess. Kamala owns this failed record. Make America Great Again, Inc. is responsible for the content of this advertising.
If she becomes president, I assure you there will be nothing to laugh about. And I'm hoping that the Republicans don't get too cocky and don't get too comfortable, because there's no sure thing in politics. Prime example, Donald Trump had no chance against Hillary Clinton until he did. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
All right, Big Take this morning, 855-839-1210. If you want to jump in on social media, at 1210WPHD, or let it rip this morning in the YouTube chat. It's the Kale and Company comment community. Just go to youtube.com/at1210WPHT and hit the like and subscribe button. We'll get everybody's thoughts and reaction to the big news yesterday. News coming down right as we kind of finished the race and the ride yesterday. All of a sudden, Joe drops out. Your thoughts, your reaction will continue here on a Monday morning. Nick, Dawn, and Greg, it's Kale and Company. Talk Radio 1210WPHT.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Dawn, I want to get your thoughts. A very busy news day yesterday. Do you think Joe went willingly into the night? Do you think Obama and company forced him out? Did Jill offer him a double scoop of chocolate chip ice cream? What exactly transpired between Margaret Brennan's show, where Cedric Richmond says, look, Joe's the guy, and he's not going anywhere, to 4.5 hours later, around 2 p.m. or so, all of a sudden we find out Joe is no longer in the equation?
Yeah, as far as from the media standpoint, I laughed because I thought they purposely waited until after the Sunday morning shows. So just controlling the spin and allowing that to land and settle. So they purposely did this after all the Sunday morning shows were done. They waited. So I think that's just my little media take on that one. As far as, you know, Joe Manchin this morning, will he jump back in? Will he switch back from being an independent to a Democrat? I know he had mentioned Kentucky's Governor Andy Beshear. And then we also, I mean, I don't see Michigan's governor. I just don't, because I just don't think she's as likable. But even thinking about North Carolina, I mean, first of all, Kentucky's governor, Andy Beshear, so a blue governor in a red state.
Yep.
46 years old, good looking, tall guy. And I say tall because short guys don't do as well in modern day politics as far as top of the ticket.
Ron
I'm just
DeSantis.
Saying. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a thing. It's like a weird thing, but it's a thing.
He was too short to be Trump's VP. And we'd say that jokingly because that was not really the case. But yeah, I mean, that is a thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just love, as far as looking at this, thinking to myself, I don't care if it's Kamala at the top of the ticket, or even if Pennsylvania's Governor Josh Shapiro, who is very popular here in Pennsylvania, but a virtual unknown on a national stage.
True.
I just don't see them. I cannot even imagine on this day looking at this that Democrats could pull out a win at the top of the ticket. However, I certainly think, as I've said before, they definitely are looking to mitigate their losses down ticket, which, quite frankly, I don't even see that in the polls. I know this is not maybe my skill set, but when I look at the individual candidates like Carrie Lake, I don't think she's hugely popular in Arizona. I think Dave McCormick here in Pennsylvania has made inroads, but he's still behind.
Right.
And so that's my other question. Does Trump really have coattails? I think in the races, especially of a Senate race, I think it's all about the candidate. And unless you have a fantastic candidate who resonates, who has the right message, I think that, especially here in Pennsylvania, again, somebody who is an incumbent like Casey, kicking Casey out, it's monumental. I mean, I know over the weekend, like Dave McCormick, I know he's making like 9 stops a day and he's doing a marathon, but honest to goodness, I think it's an uphill battle in some of these, you know, that's why it's such hard work.
Yeah. The question will also be, as Joe rides out the remainder of his term, will he pardon Hunter Biden? So that's also something to keep an eye on. But when you think about the big picture for the Democrats moving forward, I also, my first thought yesterday was, you know, knowing the left with identity politics, will a straight white cis male have the temerity to challenge Kamala Harris at a possible, you know, next 4-week stretch? And we'll get into the specifics of how that would look, how many delegates you have to get, you know, virtual versus, you know, doing some televised, you know, debates and things like that. And then does it really matter if Kamala Harris becomes the nominee when we talk about Donald Trump gaining in the Hispanic community, Donald Trump gaining with the black vote? I would argue not so much. And I'm not saying Trump's a lock over Kamala Harris by any stretch. Crazier things have happened. There's a lot of people that vote on feelings. I also think there's a lot of people that would just like to vote and make history by voting for an African-American female, because you could check off two bullet points with one vote. But I don't know that she resonates and brings the black vote that Trump has gained back to the Democrats. Bay Area, locking up people for marijuana, prison, you heard the ad. And some people might be bothered by this, but I do think this is a thing in the African-American community. She married Doug Emhoff, okay? She married a white guy. I don't think she resonates with black voters at any substantial margin. Michelle Obama, yes. Kamala, not so much. Because for me, it's not so much about the politician with the Democrats right now. It's not the politician or the person, it's the policy of the party. If they continue with DEI, climate, gender ideology, and all the stuff that has failed, you could argue if they stay the course in that far left lane, Trump wins. Now, if they go Shapiro, if they go even further centrist to Joe Manchin, I think the more they slide back right, the better their odds are. Which is why I think Gretchen Whitmer and Gavin Newsom, even though they're on a short list of names for Veep or people that could challenge Kamala, are not resonating. Who's resonating? Shapiro, Beshear from Kentucky, and Stocker, you mentioned North Carolina yesterday. I think the name is the governor, Roy Cooper.
That's who I just said, yeah.
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry, Don, you said that, yes.
Who released a statement about his good friend Joe Biden. We have all of our local politicians releasing statements. You know, and that's the other thing. North Carolina, look at... You know, if you look at the electoral map and then you look at Nevada in play, to me, it's fascinating. And I think the DNC in Chicago, August 19th, will be fascinating. Will they do one of these old school open conventions like they've done back in the day?
The way the Democrats are all rallying around Kamala, it would be political suicide for anybody to challenge her. Political suicide.
Greg, all it takes is one. Remember here in Pennsylvania, Ed Rendell was so upset because remember this? They were like Southern women at a party. Oh, bless your heart. I'm your friend. But no, behind Hillary's back, they wanted somebody else. And that's what the Democrats do. They're very disingenuous. Oh, yay. We love you. Kamala. Yeah, it's Kamala. It's Kamala. Until it's not. And all it takes is one to come out, and then once you have, and who will that one be?
Well, and if it's a squad Dem, could you imagine the floodgate then opening? Because it's almost like we give you permission to challenge and question Kamala Harris.
No,
right?
I think it would be more like is it a Joe Manchin type? Because he's already independent.
Well, that's
true.
He
doesn't care anymore. Right.
And he doesn't affiliate with the far left, so he's...
But whoever it is, once you open that up, I think then it's on.
Joe Manchin is going to start a political campaign in July?
I don't think he is. I think it just takes one. That's what they do. So they might say, Joe, you're already an independent. Just switch back. Open this up for us. All they need is that one person.
And I believe he's 76 or 77 years old. So you're right back in now. He's certainly more, has far more cognitive abilities at his age than Joe does. But again, it's another old guy. I mean, the Democrats really going to go and ditch Kamala for 76-year-old Joe Manchin? Doesn't seem like something that they're subscribing to these days. I can't imagine that.
Yeah, Kamala Harris is the nominee.
do think she is, but I will just remind you of what happened, and I remember vividly, Ed Rendell was former governor and mayor of Philadelphia. He was so mad because he was a Hillary Clinton guy until they dumped her and went with Obama. And everybody was like, oh my, but they were all, it was all her, and they were all in until they weren't.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they had Obama.
Right.
Okay, who was young and dynamic and good looking, and you know what I mean? So right. They knew that they had somebody really special. Do they have somebody else?
No.
But I'll tell you what, the way they threw good old Joe under the bus when they were losing in the polls, if Kamala doesn't pull, like if she became a disaster in the polls between now and the 19th, nothing surprises me.
And ultimately, she needs 50% plus one. Now, if you take polls for what they're worth, if you buy them, which I don't, but you know sometimes they are right. An Economist YouGov survey conducted this past week found that 79% would support Kamala Harris if she became the Democratic nominee. So 4 out of every 5 voters saying, okay, I guess we'll ride with Kamala because in theory it's somewhat better than Joe Biden, although I think you can argue that she's worse than Joe Biden, even in Joe Biden's current state, right?
Further, she certainly is further left.
Yes.
And so is that what we want? Do we want the first? It's not the first woman president that we should be thinking about. It's
right.
The first progressive president.
Yes,
right?
Yes. And who, Joe just marched along to the orders with who's calling the shots behind the scenes. But I'm telling you, if people vote for Kamala Harris, and they will, but if she wins, we might as well just say that the president really doesn't matter anymore. Let's just make a public admission, both sides of the political aisle, in 100% unity, that short of an outsider like Donald Trump, who you knew it was a Trump production, Trump was calling the shots for the most part. Yeah, maybe he acquiesced at times to advisors or people behind the scenes, but for the most part, it was a Trump production. He was the actor, the director, the producer. Then if you're voting for Kamala Harris, you are saying to your fellow citizens of this country, I don't care who the president is. I'm cool with the 1%, the global elitist, the deep state, whatever title you want to throw out there. You're good with that. And that's what's infuriating, because I don't know that Kamala Harris, and I say this tongue in cheek, I'm not sure she could organize my sock drawer. But yet people will vote for her because, and that's the thing people have to remember. You know, Donald Trump, we said this last week. I think, Stocker, you had the numbers. Hillary Clinton was like a 97, 98% favorite. Trump was basically drawing dead, pulled off the shocker of all shockers. Like, there are, never forget, and you can't be one of these people on social media that tweets about Trump derangement syndrome every single second of the day and then be stunned when he loses. Because if you know the hatred for that man exists to the point where people are willing to put a bullet in his head, you shouldn't be floored that people are dumb enough to vote for Kamala Harris, because the hatred for the guy on this side of the aisle is that strong. So I think that's something that we need to reiterate. Now, Stocker, I know you mentioned Roy Cooper yesterday. We were driving home. Here's what's interesting about Cooper, according to Newsweek. While the party, the Democrats, hasn't won a presidential election in the Tar Heel State since 2008, Cooper was elected in 16 and 2020, despite Donald Trump winning North Carolina in both 2016 and 2020. So you've got that kind of odd dynamic where nationally at a presidential election, a federal level, general election, it's Republican the last 8 years, yet locally they're going blue, which is the opposite of Kentucky.
Well, here's my thinking on, I think it's either going to be Cooper or Beshear. And if you really look at where the where her weaknesses are for the Democratic ticket, I would say Shapiro would be her best bet, but I mean, everybody on this radio station has already agreed that Pennsylvania is a blue state. So if they already think they have Pennsylvania locked up, what does she need Shapiro for? So then you look to North Carolina. Is North Carolina winnable? Is it a safe, you know, she could probably use some help there. You know, if you win North Carolina, you know, that could be a game changer for the Democrats. Also, Andy Beshear is a Southern Democrat who's won in a pretty red state.
Kentucky.
So,
you know,
yes.
The Mid-South.
So, if I'm the Kamala team, God knows I am not. Let me just put that on the table. I am not. But they are, they're looking for where her weaknesses are, just like, you know, Trump team did with Pence in 2016, and seeing where, you know, a potential vice president could help her make up ground. And I think it's either North Carolina or Kentucky.
Okay. I would disagree slightly. I'm with you on North Carolina. I would go Shapiro followed by Roy Cooper in North Carolina. But here's the other thing to ask yourself. We keep saying, oh, would Josh Shapiro give Kamala Pennsylvania? Would that swing the election? Would Kamala win if she had Shapiro as her vice president? Do we know that Shapiro wants to be a vice president? Does he envision himself in that role?
I think anybody who is asked is going to
go for it.
Because I think of Shapiro in a way, and it's a little different, but hear me out on this. I think of DeSantis. I don't see DeSantis being a vice president and doing the vice president duties on a daily basis. He's kind of like a CEO, right? Now, he's certainly more demonstrative than Josh Shapiro. But Josh Shapiro, like him, hate him, love him, indifferent on him, he does come off very distinguished, very presidential. He's not nearly as combative as a DeSantis. But I don't know that you're, and we're talking only just 2 years in to his term. Do you think he's really going to bail on PA this early?
Yeah.
Or from a selfish standpoint, does he say, you know what, 2028 makes more sense for me personally in my career?
No, I think, like Greg said, I think that Shapiro's gonna if he's asked, he will go for it. I mean, you know, just real quick, just thinking about, you know, the road to 270, just because, you know, we talked about Beshear. So Kentucky 8 electoral votes, Pennsylvania 19, North Carolina 16. Pennsylvania is one of the few states like Michigan, Wisconsin, Arizona, Nevada, who
and
are
Georgia.
Considered toss ups.
Yep. Yeah, there's no swing state that has more electoral votes than Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is the golden goose.
So, I mean, North Carolina leans right. That's how they put it. But I think North Carolina is going to go red. That's 16.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking at the map saying, could Shapiro, who's a good campaigner, could he, you know, tip the difference? I think that's why in the nation we're hearing Governor Pence. We're not just talking about Governor Shapiro because we're in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
But I think it's because of the electoral map. And when you look at this, and truthfully, there's just something about Gretchen over in Michigan.
Oh, she's unlikable.
It's just, you know, like you look at her and I don't know, Wicked Witch of the, I just I don't know what it is. I think that she's really unlikable.
She'd make a great anchor on CNN.
I just don't see it.
Do you think they try and make history and do an all-female ticket?
I wouldn't rule it out. I really wouldn't.
Man,
the question is, who's that person?
I think it would be stupid?
Yeah, be stupid.
Interesting.
Wow.
Why?
Because of sexism. Because
men hate women?
No, I just think, there is.
Because men would never accept a double female ticket?
No, not right now. Look, all this stuff, whether you want to say it's sexism or whether you just think the way brains work, whatever. We are coming out of a post-pandemic period where the government, we know, everybody knows what happened, that we were, for most of the country, we were lied to. We were locked down. Our economy's a hot mess. And there's this unsettled feeling. And so to put something at the top of the ticket, not just one, but two women, and those two women in particular, Kamala Harris has been the butt of every joke of just not getting things done.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't see it. And so even though I say, you know, like Mike, because my brother John is always in my brain of, you know, the two women, like, absolute, what a disaster. But those two women in particular would be a disaster for America, in my humble opinion.
855-839-1210, if you would like to jump in. So what does the next 28 days look like for the Democratic Party? I'll give you a little bit of the in-the-weeds minutia here. This is courtesy of The Hill. Here's what they say. To ensure an orderly process, here's how this whole process would play out with seven different steps. Number one, the Rules Committee of the DNC could immediately meet to lay out an abbreviated campaign schedule and process voted on virtually by the full DNC after their deliberations to select a new nominee for president. It is possible that this could occur over the course of just 4 days. Number two, after approval of the plan, the candidate certification process would begin. Each candidate for nomination will be required to secure the endorsement of 40 sitting DNC members from approximately 450 members, the vast majority of whom are elected in their states and broadly representative of Democrats nationally. Step number three, the 40 must include at least seven members from each of the party's four geographic regions. Given the number of DNC members, such a process would most likely result in no more than five potential nominees. So we wouldn't have 10, 12, 15 different people in the mix here. It would be no more than five. Step four, these nominating petitions will be submitted to the DNC committee for certification no later than 10 days after the process is announced. Number five, while certified candidates will be free to conduct campaigns on their own, the DNC will likely host two televised town halls over a 10-day period in which people will get a better idea as to what the candidates are about. Number six, the process will conclude at the convention where the candidates will be formally nominated and votes cast by the 3,933 elected delegates in the first round and 4,672 in subsequent rounds, which will include the automatic delegates. And then after the nominee is selected, they will be asked to select their vice president running mate on the final day of the convention, which is August 22nd.
Wow.
So that's pretty much it. So if you think anything's going to slow down here in the next 4 weeks, it's for Democrats,
yeah,
they're full speed ahead until Labor Day.
Keep it locked on this radio station. Well, everybody will be, but keep it locked on this radio station from now until Election Day.
Yes.
And then well beyond, because God only knows what's going to happen on Election Day.
But I don't think, even though people are saying, oh, it's going to be this open convention, like, and you won't even know. The Democrats, what are they famous for? They are famous for always, they line up, they meet in closed door meetings, they decide all of this. And that's what they're doing right now as we speak, and starting over the weekend, they strategize, they all line up, and they're all going to do what they are told. They don't have rogue people generally in their party. They all line up, Republicans, and it's the old saying, some of your best qualities are your worst qualities.
Yep.
So, right? So the Republicans, the GOP, what do we have? We have people who passionately believe in certain things and are not going to say, okay, I'm not going to believe that just for a win. That doesn't happen for Republicans. It doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so with Democrats, they line up because they say the most important thing here is that we win. So we've got to line up, get our game plan together.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter because, like, you're really going to have a ticket that nobody in the Democrat coalition or the primaries voted for.
Yeah.
So I mean, there is precedent for this. It happened in 1968 with Hubert Humphrey and Lyndon Johnson. Lyndon Johnson stepped down in I believe March of 1968. His running mate, Hubert Humphrey, ran and lost to Richard Nixon. So, mm-hmm. You know, they got a 4-month head start on what the Democrats did, you know, yesterday. Right. So,
but think about the time period that you're talking about. So this was post Camelot, everybody reacting mm-hmm. to, you know, Vietnam War, with Kennedy's assassination, and a tumultuous time. But for us in this modern time, the first time that we've seen this with social media in play. And so who did we see at the Republican National Convention? You might say, well, why do you have Dana White up there? Because, and I said to my teenage sons over the weekend, I said, you know, Joe Rogan, because they're looking to, what did Rogan say about this? So now you have all of these influencers. We talked about Amber Rose from Philadelphia and her influence and the way that the Democrats, remember Joy Reid flipping out, saying racist things about Amber, you know, Amber Reed, Amber Rose,
oh, yeah,
saying, oh, she's racially ambiguous, as if to say, well, because she's of mixed background ethnicity, she shouldn't have a true voice or a big voice in the black community. It was like, wow, that just blew me away.
Right.
But they were very worried about that. So what influence will these influencers, so-called, in social media have over especially young voters who are impressionable? Because Democrats traditionally, in many communities, such as the African-American community, have been told you're going to vote this way. They've been taken for granted. They know it now because of social media and these influencers. What impact will that have on the upcoming vote?
It's a good point. It's a good question. 855-839-1210.
Just one more thing, too, about the Lyndon Johnson comparison. He stepped down in March of 1968, and it was right after that My Lai massacre that happened in Vietnam, and he saw that his unpopularity was, you know, after that whole thing, he was just like, there was like there's no way he can win, which is why he stepped down, which mm-hmm. is very reminiscent of what happened yesterday. Obviously, way different circumstances,
right.
But you know, Joe Biden only was pressured to step down when his two closest associates came to him and showed him internal polling in battleground states where he had zero chance of winning.
And when they took his waffle cones. On that note, I want you to think about this as we wrap up the hour. We are 7 weeks and one day away. 7 weeks plus one day from the second debate. Tuesday, September 10th. Will we have Trump v. Kamala on the debate stage? And also, will the same rules be in place? Keep that in mind. 855-839-1210. Hour two is on the way. Dawn will kick off the 7 o'clock hour with some news, and then we'll pivot from Joe to Trump. The newest details emerge following the Pennsylvania rally, and also how the Secret Service continues to drop the ball as the director of the Secret Service testifies today on Capitol Hill. And also Trump in Michigan at Grand Rapids on Saturday, just 1 week removed from being shot in the ear. Hour number two of Kale and Company is coming up next here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I always love the escape, and we can escape all the politics, all the daily minutiae. How do we escape? Well, with a little help from my friends at Piazza. Take one look at its beauty. It's undeniable. Talking about the brand new 2024 Tonale from Alfa Romeo of Wilmington Pike, built with the iconic grille and 5-hole wheels. It's stunning. For your convenience, you're going to find a hands-free power liftgate, a 10-inch touchscreen, and keyless entry. Wait, there is more. Like a wireless charging pad, brilliant LED adaptive lights, and a power moonroof. Ugh, Piazza, take me away. For a limited time, lease a Tonale TL all-wheel drive. Now, this is for only $299 a month. This is unheard of. Are you ready for this? $299 a month for 24 months. Visit Alfa Romeo of Wilmington Pike in Chad's Ford for all the details. Tell them Dawn sent you.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.